Turn to the 107th Psalm. It's where we were this morning. Psalm 107. We'll read tonight verses 1 through 3 and also verse 43. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, that is what's written here in this psalm, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now the verses that we just read would be the introduction, verses 1 through 3, and then of course the conclusion in verse 43. Between that, of course, you have the body of the psalm. As we said this morning, we are not told the author. We're not told the occasion of the psalm. But in Psalm 106, verse 47, we see a prayer, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen." It is a prayer for redemption, a prayer for gathering. But notice, added to that in verse 47, to give thanks. In other words, the reason we're praying for you to save and gather us is so that we can give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. And then this kind of just flows into Psalm 107, and we read that they have been redeemed in verses 2 and 3 from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out. In other words, prayer was answered. Now remember the reason why they prayed, and that is to give thanks unto thy holy name. And then notice how the psalm begins, Psalm 107, "Oh, give thanks." They prayed for deliverance, a gathering. God answered that prayer. They prayed that so that they could give thanks. And now the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." So again, it seems that the psalm was written after Israel had gone into Babylonian captivity and the Lord had brought them out. And it's just a psalm about redemption, a psalm meant to commemorate God's miraculous deliverances, not only from Babylon, but throughout their history. And it's a psalm meant to celebrate these deliverances, and likewise for us as well. In verses 4 through 32, the psalmist gives account of God's redemption of his people, showing his redemptive power. And he does so in pictorial form. We see in verses 4 through 9, a people lost in the wilderness, they're found and they're led to a safe city. In verses 10 through 16, we see an imprisoned people set free. And then in verses 17 through 22, we see a deteriorating people, a sick people, healed. And in verses 23 through 32, there's a life-threatened people in a storm on the sea, and they're brought to safe harbor. Again, these are all meant to illustrate God's redeeming power. So the verses that we read tonight, again, serve as the introduction, the conclusion, and they really provide us with the purpose of the psalm. It opens with an exhortation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That very first word, oh, shows that it's an exclamation. So it's an exhortation in the form of an exclamation. In other words, the psalmist is passionately pleading with this people to give thanks unto the Lord. And this is in regard to two attributes of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And then in verse 2, there's a call for the redeemed of the Lord, the recipients of God's goodness, God's mercy, to be in agreement with the exhortation. We read, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, or testify to such, that God is good, that God is merciful. And then in verse 43, the conclusion of the psalm, the wise will carefully view with utmost attention what is written here, and as a result, they will come to a fuller comprehension and appreciation of the loving kindness of God. So it's a psalm about the loving kindness of the Lord, His goodness, His mercy. So we want to speak tonight on a thankful, testifying, praising, redeemed people. First of all, consider this people, a redeemed people. Verse 2, notice the redeemed. The redeemed. These are the objects, these are the recipients, these are the beneficiaries of redemption. I'm glad to be included in the redeemed. The redeemed. In that phrase, the redeemed of the Lord, we see three things. There, of course, is a people. There's also an event, the event of redemption. And there's also the source of the event, the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord. Now, the people, they are a favored people who have experienced a miracle in their lives. They are the redeemed. They have had a price paid for them. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 that our redemption is through Jesus Christ being made a curse for us. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, the redeemed are reminded, ye are bought with a price. Every one of us that can identify with the redeemed, we need to remember this, we have been bought with a price. The result of that is ye are not your own. The redeemed are a favored people. They've experienced an event. The event they have experienced is deliverance, rescue. They have been set free. They have been set free from the curse of the law. They have been set free from the dominion of sin. They have been set free from the power of darkness. They have been set free from the wrath to come. So these are wonderful words, the redeemed. But then notice, it's the redeemed of the Lord. We didn't redeem ourselves. No one else redeemed us. It is the redeemed of the Lord. He's the source of the redemption. He's the originator of the redemption. He is the one who produces. He's the one who brings about the redemption. He is the reason for the redemption. So again, the fact is we are redeemed of the Lord. And that's clearly stated throughout the psalm. We see in verse 2, whom, that is the redeemed, he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Notice verse 6. They are delivered them out of their distresses. He did that. Verse 7. We see they are led forth by the Lord. Verse 13. We see that they are saved them out of their distresses. In verse 14, he brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. In verse 16, he hath broken the gates of brass, cut the bars of iron in sunder. In verse 19, again, they are saved them out of their distresses. In verse 20, we see they are delivered from their destructions. In verse 28, they are again saved, bringeth them out of their distresses. And in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Again, he's the Redeemer. He's the one who brings about the redemption. In each one of these verses, the Lord is the Redeemer. He's the one who delivers. He's the one who rescues. He's the one who renews. He's the one who liberates. He's the one who restores. The redeemed of the Lord. It's not the redeemed of mom and dad. It's not the redeemed of grandma and grandpa. It's the redeemed of the Lord. And this redemption involves a radical change brought out by the Lord. Again, in verse 6, verse 13, verse 19, verse 28, the redeemed were in trouble and he delivered them out of their distresses. He brought about a change. It's a change that only the Lord can bring about. So the redeemed of the Lord, it's all of him. It's all of him. And then we go on and we see the practical results of this redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed of the Lord. And now we are to, this is to have practical results in our life. We're to be a people of thanksgiving. Again, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Because he's redeemed us. Give thanks unto the Lord. Now, in order to give thanks, you have to first be thankful. To give thanks is the expression of being thankful. Thankful is an attribute. Giving thanks is an act that proceeds from the attribute. Why aren't we a more thankful, or why don't we give more thanks than we do? Well, that's dependent upon whether or not we're thankful. People make, again, resolutions all the time, I'm going to give thanks more often. Now, if you're not thankful, you won't. It won't last. Giving thanks proceeds from a thankful spirit. So we ought to be thankful that God has redeemed us. And then we give thanks. That is, we express the emotion of thankful. It's a way of thinking. It's an inward disposition. It's an inclination to be thankful. To give thanks, again, is the outward expression of thankful. Notice what it says. It says, "Oh, give thanks, for he is good, for his mercy." So what's the reason for the thanks? The reason is not redemption. The reason is the Lord. The reason is who he is. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." We ought to all give thanks unto God, because he's good. And his mercy endureth forever. Again, his mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And that's summed up in verse 43 by the word loving kindness. That is his goodness and his mercy. So it's give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his love, and his kindness toward us in redemption. Redemption is a manifestation of his goodness. Redemption is a manifestation of his mercy. Redemption is a manifestation of his love. Redemption is a manifestation of his kindness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We read in verse 22, "Let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving." Again, the Lord is the reason for the thanks. And if the Lord is the reason, God is who he always is. So we're to give thanks always. You see, if you can only give thanks for your circumstances, you can't give thanks always. But if God is the subject of the thanks, you can give thanks always. We ought to be a thankful people. Secondly, we ought to be a people that testifies and bears witness. Again, notice verse 2. "Let the redeemed," that is, the objects and the recipients of this goodness and mercy, "say so." Let the redeemed say so. Say what? That he is good. All the redeemed ought to say he's good. All the redeemed ought to speak of his mercy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, they are to be in full agreement. God is good. Are we in agreement with that? God is good. Bad things happen, but God is good. God is always good. We may not be able to explain it. It's a matter of faith. He is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He is good. His mercy endureth. Be in agreement with that. But also to say so means to declare. We are to declare that God is good. We are to declare that his mercy endureth. And notice the spirit in which this is to be done. In verse 22, "Declare his works with rejoicing." We are to gladly declare God is good. We are to gladly declare God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He is good. His mercy endureth. Again, he's the subject of our testimony. He's the subject. We hear the psalmist say in Psalm 91, verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress." I will say of the Lord, he is. God is the subject. Psalm 22:22, "I will declare thy name." Again, God is the subject of our testimony. In Psalm 66, verse 16, "I will declare what he hath done for my soul." What he hath done. He is the emphasis. He is the subject. In Psalm 145:6, "I will declare thy greatness." A redeemed people are to be a testifying people. And the subject of their testimony is God. The subject of the testimony is not me. The subject of the testimony is not you. The subject of the testimony is the Lord. The Lord said to Israel in Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses." And in Isaiah 43:12, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." And again, He's the subject. We are witnesses for the Lord. We are witnesses of the Lord. And again, He is the subject. A witness is someone who testifies for another. We are to testify for God. A witness tells what they know. Only what they know. A witness tells what they've seen. Testify what you know of God. Testify what you've seen of God. A witness testifies of what they've heard and what they've experienced. We are the witnesses of God. A witness is one who confirms or gives evidence, verifies and demonstrates and reveals. And our lives are to verify God. Our lives are to demonstrate God. Our lives are to reveal God. He is the subject of our witness. And we ought to view all of our circumstances as opportunity to bear witness and testimony. Paul said regarding his circumstances, he's in prison. Philippians 1 verse 12. He said, "The things which happened unto me have fallen out or resulted in unto the furtherance of the gospel." Paul knew, and you and I should know, that nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens apart from God's purpose. And whatever does happen to you and I is an opportunity to bear witness of the Lord. We need to view all of our circumstances that way. It needs to be our viewpoint. God places us in a variety of circumstances amongst a variety of people. He does not place us all in the same place. And He places us there to bear witness of who He is. Again, He is the subject, and since He is the subject, it's continual. We're to always bear witness. Thirdly, we're to be a people of praise. A people of thanksgiving, a people who say so of the Lord, and a people of praise. And we see this in verses 4 through verse 32. And again, the psalmist draws pictures, if you will, of God redeeming His people. And after each picture, you find the words, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." We're to be a people of praise. Praise is an act of expression. It's something that we express. It is the expression of admiration. Is the expression of adoration and thankfulness and devotion toward God. It is an expression of exaltation of God. It is the desire to glorify God, to magnify God and to honor Him. It is the expression of reverence for God. It is ascribing worth to God, that He's worthy. It's a celebration of God and what God has done. We're to be a people who praise the Lord. And again, He is the object of praise. He is the subject of praise. But we will not do any of these things unless our heart is united to God. Unless there's a connection of heart with God. Unless there's a link with God. A degree of conformity to God. And just like thanksgiving, praise is spontaneous. It's not something you plan. It's just a spontaneous emotional response to the Lord. Praise. It conveys the idea of jubilation. It conveys the idea of exuberance. And God is the reason for the praise. And He's always the same. So therefore, our praise should be continuous. In closing, we, the redeemed of the Lord, we are the blessed recipients, all of us are, but the redeemed even more so, are the blessed recipients of God's goodness. Is there anyone here tonight that's not the recipient of God's goodness? But if you're redeemed, even more so. We are the recipients of God's mercy. Again, God's mercy is God restraining, keeping from us what we deserve. What we deserve from a holy God. None of us would be here. The very fact that we're here gives testimony of His goodness and His mercy. Gives testimony of His love. Someone curses God, and God allows them to live. They're living proof of God's mercy right there. That's a testimony of God's mercy. Shake their fist at God. Get angry with God. God doesn't strike them dead. They're a testimony of God's mercy. We're all the recipients of His goodness, His mercy, His love, and the kindness of God. We ought to be a thankful people. A people unashamed to testify of the Lord. A people unashamed to praise the Lord. You and I that are the redeemed of the Lord, our thanksgiving, our testimony for the Lord, our praise for God ought to be uninhibited. Ought to be uninhibited. It ought to be genuine. It ought to be continuous. And it ought to be growing in fervency and passion. It ought to always be growing. It ought never to be mechanical, superficial, or shallow. We are to be a people who give thanks unto the Lord. We are to be a people who testify God is good. God is good. God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. And we ought to be a people who have no problem praising the Lord, exalting Him, expressing our love for Him. And people will say, well, this isn't the time, really. When is it not the time to give thanks unto God? When is it not the time to testify of the Lord? When is it not the time to praise God? Those things are never out of season. It's always time to do those things. Well, I feel inhibited around certain groups of people. Well, shame on us, because we ought not. He's the subject of our thankfulness and of our testimony and of our praise. So again, there's a lot here in this 107th Psalm. And as we said this morning, you can find yourself in this psalm in several places. But God is there. God is there. And He's greater than whatever the situation might be. And He can do what no one else can. And we ought not have any problem thanking Him, testifying of Him, and giving Him the praise. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us together.